Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor. And I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can have the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. Join me to hear the stories of powerful women of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. And be sure to join us in the Women, Faith, and Business community on Facebook by going to facebook.com/groups/Women, Faith, and Business or searching for Women, Faith, and Business on Facebook. See you in the community and enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Women, Faith, Plus Business Podcast. I'm super excited this episode. We have an amazing guest. It's a friend of mine, someone that I've known for quite some time now. We were in a coaching program together, and then we've just been running in the same circles ever since. So it's always exciting to have a conversation with a good friend, and it's Valerie Pugsley. Valerie helps growth-minded entrepreneurs gain confidence, clarity, focus, and momentum. She helps them navigate self-sabotage, which often looks like procrastination, perfectionism, and overwhelmed. And she does it with grace and curiosity. She helps clients see the mental pieces that are getting in their way and looks at it from a different perspective and develops strategies customized for each client. She uses her over 20 years of experience as a teacher to see through what keeps clients stuck and enables them to see the next best step. Love it, Valerie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here. And you're right. It is like just talking to a friend. So I'm really excited that we get to spend more time together.
Exactly. It's comfortable. Sometimes when I don't really know the person, kind of have to get the vibe together, but we vibe. We know each other. We're friends. So it's all good. So in your bio, it talks about you were a teacher, which I didn't even know that. This is the first time I'm reading that from your bio. And it's funny because I think you're about the third or maybe even fourth teacher that's on this season. So there's a theme of teachers. And I think I understand why. It's the skill sets and the way that teachers love to give back that naturally makes them develop into great coaches, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, it's funny because I was just listening to Barbara, who is on the, we're on a summit together, and she was talking about archetypes. And one of the archetypes is teacher. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's me.
Exactly. Yeah. Teachers, it's just like I said, they have a natural ability to break things down, but also in a way where they kind of naturally coach people. I think that's kind of like a complementary skill set when it comes to teaching is that coaching element. So it's not surprising that a lot of the women on the podcast have been teachers. Their prior experience has been teaching. So it definitely is a gift from God to be able to have that skill set. So this podcast is all about women of faith in business and what their journeys have been like, because everyone's journey is unique, it's different, and there's always something that we can glean from or learn from in anyone's journey. So I'd love for you to share, first of all, what has your business journey been like?
So my business journey, I think, okay, well, how far back do we go? So I almost want to tell a story from when I was a little kid, but I don't know that it really has a point. So I think I'll leave it there.
If you feel led, I'm always spirit led. So if you feel led to share that story, share it.
Well, okay. Then without prompting, I will, because if the spirit's bringing it up, you're right. There's probably a point to it, even if I don't know what it is. So I think it's probably just kind of the entrepreneurial nature of it. So I remember, like, my earliest remember as a little kid. So I'm very ancient of days. And back in the day, they used to have these in magazines everywhere. They have these little forms. Like now we have the email form where you put your email in. Well, they used to have these things where you would have to put your name and your address and put it in an envelope, address it with a stamp, and send it to get a freebies, right? They were still sending out freebies, and you had to. And so I took and got a whole bunch of those. I cut them out of a bunch of magazines because they were just everywhere. And I pasted in a notebook. And I went around asking neighbors to fill out the information. I have no idea what for. I don't know what I was going to do it. But it's kind of like, I mean, like, that's a sale. That's like, I guess, your first sales gig, right? I had to convince these neighbors to give me their name and address for no good reason. And back then, too, I remember there's a couple others. Well, back in the day, we used to collect the cans and bottles and then go take them to the store to get the money back so we could buy the candy. And I think when I got a little older, I was sort of an only child. My parents divorced, and then I got some step siblings. And so when I'd go and visit them, I was like 6, 7 years older than them. So I was a teen, like an early teen, and they were little, and we'd make shows, and I'd direct them and tell them what to do. And then we would charge the neighbors like a nickel or a quarter to come and watch our shows. So it goes all the way back to then. However, more recently, it started in 2012, and I had been dabbling a little bit with internet marketing and learning about it. And that was when Facebook was the first coming up and, being a thing. And I didn't really have a purpose for the dabbling at first. I was just curious and learning about it. And then I decided that I was going to go into consulting for social media marketing because I saw that the things people were saying worked. So, because I test them out and it worked, and I'm like, oh, this works. Okay. Hey, my friend, you need to write the teacher, right? I got to show somebody this cool thing that I found and help them use it for their business. So it started out there and kind of evolved from social media marketing to what I ended up calling relationship marketing because I ended up and still do when I work with people in the marketing area of it's it yes, it's getting the word out social media, but it's also the email marketing where you're nurturing the relationship. And I like video a lot for nurturing relationships and cards and just sending things in the mail, snail mail, right? Right. It's about building the relationships. And so I was working that and doing that and getting some clients here and there, but I was realizing that I was struggling a lot. And as a part of figuring out what my struggle was, I realized that, oh, I had a lot of work to do up here in between the ears, right? So much mindset stuff and attitude and just a lot of work. A lot of work. We're still working on it, but we've made a lot of progress. But I had a lot of work to do. And as I started learning how the brain works, and as I started testing things, so I was kind of it. Part of the process of doing the work was first recognizing that it needed to be done, right? Catch every thought captive, right? I needed to recognize that the work needed to be done. And then I needed to figure out how to do it. And I wasn't like just reading scripture. Okay, I'd been doing that, but I still have work to do. So that's not apparently enough. Or I'm not talking to the right person or something. And so I started tiptoeing into personal development. And I say tiptoe because I went to Calvary Chapel at the time. And my impression, anyway, I don't know if they're for sure this way, but my impression is they were very kind of anti therapy and personal development stuff. And you kind of get some of that in Christendom. And so I would tiptoe, being in the Word for many years. I'd hear things. I'm like, all right, well, like there's nothing in my head going off that there's a scripture or principle against it. So, all right, let's try it. And hey, this works. God, how come this works? And then he would show me a verse in the Bible. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Okay. And so then I would go headlong into the practice. And so that's kind of what happened, but also seeing the things that they're discovering in science about how things work, like your reticular activating system, how that works, and neural pathways, and just all the different things, neuroscience based. It's like, oh, you can see it in scripture. And so that became, I began transitioning there probably about 2018, 2019, to really just focusing on speaking about mindset, at least publicly. And I still do help people with marketing some. I have a couple clients with that, but mostly I'm focusing on mindset and helping people with the mindset, even around marketing. You probably see this as a marketing expert. People like, oh, they don't do the thing. Well, that's because there's some sort of resistance and it's internal, right? In your head or in your heart, there's something going on. There's a belief that's trying to protect you. And it's trying to protect something from the past. And because of that, you won't put yourself out there, right? You're afraid to put yourself out there, probably because of some
Yeah.
rejection or judgment that you're afraid of. And until we can work on that internal peace, all these other efforts, you're just going to keep hitting the wall. So
Yeah.
anyway, I don't know. I'm starting to feel like I'm starting to ramble now, but that pivot came back 2019 to just really wanting to focus on helping people with the stuff that's going on internally, whether mentally or emotionally, that's holding them back. Because it's not that they
Yeah.
don't know what to do. They know what to do, but they're just not able to do it for some reason. And it's not just because you're lazy and you just need to do it and you just need to be more disciplined and you got it right.
Yeah.
You know, pick yourself up by the bootstraps kind of mentality, or the Nike thing, you know, just do it. Well, if you're trying to just do it and you're not able to, and I think what happens a lot of time, people will start judging themselves because of that, right? And they start putting a bunch of negative labels on them that was just going to push them down even further.
Right.
And
Yeah.
so, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. There's so many good points about your business journey. First of all, I understand why the Holy Spirit had you tell that story about being a child and going to the neighbor's house with the forms and everything, because it's a reminder to us that a lot of times it's from a very young age that these things are planted in our spirit, right? You said you didn't even really know, what you were going to do with the information. You didn't even know. But because I found the same thing too. At a very young age, I want to say I was probably about 7 or 8, you pay imaginary games like teacher or doctor and those kind of imaginary games of where you're going to be when you grow up. And I was playing business owner, right? It's like, why was I playing business owner? I don't even know what it truly means or what, I definitely didn't say entrepreneur because I had no idea what that terminology. But I think the reason why you shared that story with us is it's a lot of times we can see that it's planted in our spirit from a very young age, and we continue to, it's like a seed. And it continues to grow as we get older. So I love that part of your business journey. But of course, it's an evolution, right? Starting off with social media, then going into relationship marketing. Yes, they are connected. It's all about relationship building at the end of the day when it comes to business. And then really realizing it's like peeling the onion, the layers of the onion. That, hey, there's actually something deeper than this. There's something deeper than that. And getting to the root of the issue is really the mindset piece. It really is what you're thinking, how you're thinking, because that impacts you and everything that you're doing, whether that's marketing, whether that's operations, no matter what you do in your business, your mindset is such a huge thing. So I love how it evolved over the years. And then how you also realized it was biblical. As a woman of faith, you didn't want to just take personal development principles and just say, oh, it works. But you realize, and God really revealed to you that how it's connected and how it's biblically based. So you were even rooted by scripture and the word, and not just like, oh, this thing really works, but what's the scripture behind it? This is really biblical and biblical based. So I love how that really showcased in your journey, that you were on as a business owner. So what has your faith journey been like? We talked about your business journey, but how did you become a believer in Jesus Christ and having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What did that look like for Valerie?
Yeah, well, interesting. Like you said, the seeds were planted early in life, right? So if I look early in life, my parents didn't, we didn't like always go to church. And I think for a lot of years, we were probably just what my dad would call the occasional Christians. You go on two occasions, Christmas and Easter. Because I remember seeing pictures of me dressed up in the Easter outfit and all of that, right? The new hat, the new dress, and et cetera. But there was a period in my youth, I don't know, I want to say it was probably like kindergarten through third grade, something like that, or first or second grade, third and fourth, something like that. We went to church on a regular basis. And there was a teacher there, and I like telling this story for all the Sunday school teachers out there. I know her name was Miss Mary, and I know she made me feel good. And I remember she had, I think she had either black or very dark brown hair, kind of shoulder length hair. That's as much as I can tell you. I can't tell you any lessons that Miss Mary taught me or anything like that, right? But there was that heart connection with Miss Mary. And then my parents got divorced at around 10, when I was 10 years old, and that was, of course, very traumatic. And I remember probably around 12 or 13 saying something to my mom about God. And her going, I don't even know if I believe in God. And it rocked me, you know, I felt it in my chest. It's like, what? Don't believe in God? Yeah. So it really kind of threw a wrench in things. So my going through, you know, high school and all of that, it was kind of this thing, you know, up and down. And then somewhere in high school, I ended up hanging out with the Christian group for a while. I have the ability to kind of connect with different people in different groups. And so I would hang with different people at different times. And I connected with the Jesus freaks for a little bit. This is like back in the 70s, back with the Jesus Revolution movie, right? And I was actually in the group, I think, more because I was interested in a certain boy in the group. But anyway, I hung out with them for about 3 to 6 months. And during that time, I gave my life to the Lord. And then, you know, I don't know, whatever happened. And then I wasn't hanging out with them and then kind of went on my way. But I do remember there was at least one, maybe two kind of significant times during that time where I really felt like God spoke to me, or, you know, where how you'll see something, you go, oh, that was God, you know, that there were those kind of things. And then I continued on the path, and I got involved in drugs and promiscuity and all of that stuff, and all kinds of stories I can tell about that, and how God, how really I think God saved me through them, and He protected me through a lot of things, because things could have turned out so much worse. Like, you know, for sure I could have gone to jail one time, be getting pulled over by a police officer after I had closed the bar, just a few door a few few blocks from my house, and yet he let me go home. Like, why? I don't know, because I was obviously plastered. But I would say it was in my mid-20s. Things weren't going so well, and actually my Lord used my grandmother, her death, as a way to draw me to him. So it was 83, so 82. So I think it was November of 82. She had a stroke and ended up shortly before Thanksgiving, and ended up at in the hospital in a coma. And mind you, she had a stroke at the health spa swimming laps, so that's a fun story. She's all focused on her health and everything. So she started to come out of it, but then something happened and she went back under. And so she ended up like in a rehab hospital, just in a coma. Well, she passed away at 12:01 Christmas morning. Now, my mom was, or my grandmother was, what we would call, she was religious. Like, you would think of her as religious, and she'd go to church, and I went to church with her one of the weekends when I stayed with her. And she had Guidepost magazines around her house, and she would read her little devotions every morning in her Bible, and da 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 da. And over the years, she gave me Bibles, and I used to say I could have a Bible study, and no one would have to bring a Bible. I literally think I had about five Bibles, and I think she gave me four of them, right? And I think one of them I got from the when I was going to church. And so after she like that spoke to me, because this woman was in a coma. How did she know? Like, how did she wait until Chris 1 minute into Christmas Day to pass away? Like, I don't know. It triggered it. It's like it spoke to me. And then so after that, I helped my dad with some things, you know, settling things and whatnot. And I ended up getting Guidepost magazines because I had seen them at her house and I'd gotten some ad. And so these magazines would come and I would read the little stories in them. And it's like a lot of the stories you could kind of explain away, but there would be a few, there'd be like one story in every book that, like, I can't explain that one away. What? And so I started reading my Bible, and I didn't know what to read, right? So I Close my eyes, open the book up. Okay, God, if you're there, show me what to read, kind of thing. And so he would do that. And he took me to Job for part of it. He took me to Proverbs a lot. And there was one place in Proverbs that really kind of hit me, kind of was like that piercing kind of thing. And it was talked about a woman, a promiscuous woman is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Like, oh, well, I knew I wasn't great, but I didn't think I was that bad. Yikes.
I caught your attention.
Right? Like, yee. Right. So it was during that season of just reading the word and you know, here and there, and God just directing me to places, and God was just speaking to me in my bedroom and in my bathroom, and you know, and drawing me. And I used to test God during that time. I'd say, so I was always late to work, which wasn't good. And sometimes I was getting to work on fumes. And so I remember praying myself to work a few times, going, how did I get here on fumes? And, you know, so just different little things like that, God would speak to me. And I was dating a guy at the time, and his mother and sister they went to a Calvary Chapel. And so there would be times where I would read something in the Bible and I didn't know what it meant. And so whenever that would happen, I'd go and I'd ask them and start asking them questions. And so they would do. So it was just probably this 6, 7 month nurturing process between when my grandmother passed and when I accepted the Lord and really gave my life to him fully at that point in time. And so that's, I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but basically that's it. And actually, the day when I accepted the Lord, it was very intentional. The night before, I knew I was going to go to church the next day. I knew I was going to go up. They usually did an altar call every day. That day they did not. I tried to hook up with my boyfriend that night because I'm like, all right, this is going to be the last time. That didn't work. It didn't happen. I'm just like And the day that I went to church and I decided I was going to go, they didn't even do an altar call that day. I had to walk up and tell them I wanted to accept the Lord because they didn't do an
Wow.
altar call like they normally did. And
Yeah.
I did, and they prayed with me. And actually, I was just talking with somebody about this recently. I just remember feeling like this, like almost like electricity just washing through, like going through my body, like a shower, just.
Yeah, no, I love that. There's so many good points about your faith journey that I want to make sure that the audience paid attention to. The first thing was when you were so young and you just had that heart connection. Right, with the lady at your church, right? And it reminds me of that quote by Maya and I believe it's Maya Angelou that says sometimes you don't remember what people said, but you remember the way they made you feel. And so when you mentioned that, I was and you said it was a heart connection, and you know, and a lot of times we don't even remember things when we're younger than 7, right? We have like beginning of life amnesia where we don't remember things between the age of 1 and 5, anyways. But to know that that woman stood out so much because of that heart connection and the way she actually made you feel, you know, was a part of your faith journey. So we find that a lot of times it's those people, you know, that we connect with along the way that make a difference in helping us get more grounded in our faith or direct our path. You know, even if it's going to a group because you're interested in a guy, but you a end up spiritually growing, right? So people can be that influence that really helps you along your path and along your journey. And I love what you said about just opening up the Bible, right? A lot of people do that. My mom's one of those individuals that would just open up the Bible and just read. I'm like more structured. It's like I need a devotion and I need the devotion to tell me what scripture. The random opening up the Bible isn't usually something I do, but I always admire when people say that's how they, you know, hear from God. Just open up the Bible and wherever it lands, just read that particular verse and know that it's a word from God because it always is. But when you said you open up the Bible and start reading Job, I was like, oh, that's not a good, that's a hard book to swallow. It's like, whoo, there's a lot going on in Job. So yeah, but all of those play a part and a role in how we grow spiritually. And you know how, like I said, whether it's people or The word of God, just how God is always guiding us, even in wayward seasons. Like you said, you felt protected even in the times where you weren't fully doing the right things. You saw the hand of God in your life in the ways that He protected you from things that you could have gone through that He didn't allow for it to happen. So He's always with us. He's always with us. So I love your faith journey. So let's talk a little bit about combining faith and business. A lot of people who are Christians and even business owners, they don't necessarily have to be vocal about their faith. They don't necessarily have to be bold about their faith on their business platforms. What made you decide to be more on the side of being bold and vocal about your faith and actually combining your faith and your business? Was there a decision that you had to make? Was it something that you kind of struggled with? Was it hard? Was it easy? What did that look like for you combining your business and your faith?
Yeah, so you know what? It's been a journey, and actually, it still is to some degree. You know, I don't know if I've actually landed exactly where it's going to be. Some people will say, "Well, why don't you just focus on talking to Christians?" And I've thought of that, but I don't know. That just doesn't feel right at this point in time. And I've had seasons where, talking, like, I had one client at one point in time, and so she wasn't adverse to Christians. She thought she was a Christian, but she wasn't feeling like she was really walking with the Lord. And I was able to work with her through that. But if I had just been this Christian coach, would she have come to me or not? I don't know, right? So I don't have a final answer yet, but I can share a little bit about that journey in that when I first was dabbling. So I started exploring business and online stuff actually in 2008. And just testing things out, and I'd get on platforms. Well, then I was teaching. My teaching is actually homeschooling. I homeschooled my girls K through 12. So here I was, this homeschool teacher and a Christian, and I'm just testing things. So there was nothing to lose. So I could be very vocal about my faith, and I did that. But then in 2012, when I started going consulting, then I reverted back to my workers' comp corporate days. And oh, okay, I can't talk about God now. Got to make it all straight business. And I did that. And that could have been another reason why I was having trouble, right, with things, because I wasn't fully aligned with who I am, because my faith is very important to me. It's very obvious, and you don't have to spend a lot of time, but eventually it's going to come out. And so I was that way for a few years where I didn't talk about it at all. And then it's like, oh, how does it fit? And kind of watching these different people. And so I think you kind of in varying degrees, you see like Michael Hyatt and Darren Hardy, they kind of infuse it a little bit, but very, very gently, and just it's more like sprinkles on a cupcake, right? But you talk, look at somebody like Ray Edwards, if you listen to his podcast, it's more like a mound of frosting on top of the cupcake, right? So I think I'm still finding that voice, you know, and where that fits and how it fits. Even in this, I'm getting ready to start a second round of my Success by Community, which is a 6-week group coaching program. And I've went through School of Abundance and got certified in the 7 Laws of Abundance, and infusing that in, and like, okay, but for me, okay, it has to have a, is this scriptural? Is this true? Or is this just someone say, oh, okay. And so seeing those things. So now as I'm putting it together on the landing page, I'm like, well, how do I want to put it out there, right? And do I want to put scriptures related to the, yeah. So I'm still wrestling with that at times, but I think I'm just becoming more comfortable with just being me, who I am. You know, my audience is, I'm not just out there to work with Christian entrepreneurs and side hustlers, but I am a Christian and I work with, you know, entrepreneurs and side hustlers. So
Yeah.
it's, yeah, you know, it's that ongoing evolution process developing, but I've kind of landed somewhere in between a Michael Hyatt and a Ray Edwards, right?
Yeah. And that's fine. I think it's different for everyone. And I think one of the key things that you said is being spirit led. You know, am I being guided to be really open about it, or am I being guided to be subtle about it? It's how you're being guided and led in the spirit and how you're supposed to be showing up in this season. Because that's another thing too, because, you know, maybe 2 years ago it was to be subtle, Maybe it's 5 years from now, it's to be super bold because that assignment is different in that season. So I agree with you, just kind of leaning into how you're being led, how is the spirit guiding you to show up? You know, as long as you're being authentically yourself, whether you're showing up on this end of the spectrum or that end of the spectrum, you're exactly where God desires you to be if you're being spirit led. So I love that. And I think, you know, just how we show up also has to do with how we're designed too and our assignments, because we can look at other Christian people in the marketplace and, you know, you mentioned two individuals and say, well, he's showing up this way, but maybe that's because that's his assignment and his design. You know, he's designed personality-wise to be bold, you know, whatever, and his assignment is to, you know, lead whatever. You know, it's all specific and unique. So that's how we're designed and how our assignment is. A lot of times will also determine how we show up, you know, and how we need to be in that particular season. So I love that. And it's funny that you mentioned the word alignment, because this season the theme is all about alignment. So I was like, okay, Val's ahead of me. She must see the questions that I have because the alignment question is coming up next. So because we're focused this season on really understanding alignment, how do you know that you are in alignment with God's will for your business? Since we're really focused more on just business on the podcast, you know, what would be the ways that Valerie knows, okay, yeah, this is definitely in alignment with God's will for my business, or this is totally out of alignment for God's will for my business? What does that look like for you in decision making, just in general in your business? How do you know that you are in alignment with God's will for your business?
Well, I think it fits into how do we know we're in alignment with God's will for anything, right? And oh gosh, I just read a verse. I can't remember what it was right now. It's like it would be the perfect verse right now for me to come up with. But you and I have talked about this before. I think part of my faith journey has been coming to a place of believing that the Spirit is dwelling in me, and if the Spirit is dwelling in me, the Spirit is leading and guiding me. Can I get in the way? Yes. But just coming to a place of trusting that the Spirit's leading and just going in that direction. So that's part of it. And trusting that if it's not the right direction, God can redirect me, right? And if it's not the right direction, it's not a failure. It's a learning. What did I learn in the process? Am I learning something that God wants me to learn about my relationship with Him, or any other thing? Right? What is the learning? I think you were talking about this today. I was listening to your thing. It's like, is it a failing or is it a learning? And I think that's part of it too. Is that right? Life is a journey, and something didn't go right. Okay, it didn't go right. One of the things I tell my clients is, what do you want to do different next time? Our tendency is to beat ourselves up. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't, right? I should have. We should all over ourselves. And what shouldn't I have done? Da, 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 da. All right, fine. You shouldn't have done that. So what do you want to do differently next time? Right. And so now we're starting to program what we want and even praying, right? All right, God, what should I do next time? Right? What would be the best thing to do next time instead of what I did this last time? But I think, and I think too, understanding like, we're real concerned about it. Are we doing God's will and da, da, da. And there's some real basic scriptures, like I think one of them was just basically, is it Thessalonians? Maybe that was one I was looking at, right? That you just pray, ask God, send your permit, your submit, tell him what you want, and then give him thanks for things, and then his spirit is going to guard your heart and mind, right? And moving forward. And we know there's certain things that we're not supposed to do. You know, look at the things before the fruit of the spirit, debauchery, dissension, gossip, right? There's some things that are definite no-nos, right? So if any of the things I'm doing is that, like, stop, that's not spirit led, right? If it follows the fruit of the spirit, if it follows, was it Philippians 4:8, you know, whatever's pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy, of good repute, think on these things. And so if that's what's in you, if that's what you're thinking, like move that way. But I would say more specifically to your question, I've been working with a spiritual formation coach, and the best way I can describe it is it's like guided prayer. And so he has this process we go through, and I would say probably since last October, God's just been giving me different things that this is what you're supposed to be focusing on. And he just keeps reaffirming it in different ways. So it's like, okay, that's what I need to do, and just go and do that. And then trusting God for the outcome, not trusting my action. And actually, this is even something that they talk about in the personal development as well. And it's also kind of fits in with the law of reciprocity, right? Like, if you feed and give to others, then it'll be given back to you. You can't outgive God, right? He'll give you back 100 pressed-fold, overflowing, right? All of this kind of stuff. But and now I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that? It dropped.
She was saying that you were on this path of you can't the laws and you can't outgive God. I don't know what the yeah the
It was something before that. It's really about just following the spirit and trusting, right? Oh, I know what it was. It's being attached to the outcome. A lot of times in personal development, they'll tell you, don't be attached to the outcome,
True.
right? And their source is the universe. Well, my
Right.
source is creator of the universe, right?
Exactly.
So it's like God is my source and I do the action, right? So I think a lot of times we think, well, I did the action and I didn't get the result.
Exactly.
Okay, but did God lead you to do that action? Okay, great. And what did you learn in doing the action? And what were the other things that happened as a result of it? Like that whole relationship with the guy thing, was he flirting with me, whatever? But it ended up being part of a faith journey, right? We
Exactly.
just don't know where the different seed, like, are we watering a seed? Are we planting a seed? We don't know. So
Yeah.
I would say if you're feeling in your spirit, or if you're feeling led to do something, or just is on your heart to do it, go do it, and just trust that it's God's leading, and trust that if it's not, he'll redirect you,
Redirect you.
and it's okay. And you're doing the thing because you feel led to do the thing, not for the outcome. God will direct the outcome.
Yeah, so true, so true. First of all, knowing that the Spirit dwells in you, right? That's the first step, right? You know that you have been gifted with the Holy Spirit, amazing gift, and the Holy Spirit's job is actually to guide you and direct you. So that's the first thing. You have to understand that Spirit dwells in you. But the second thing is to actually trust the Spirit, right? Trust the leading, the promptings of the Spirit. Trust that you're being guided and directed. You get sometimes confirmations or reconfirmations that help you feel good about, okay, yes, this is the right direction, but not necessarily all the time. And if you are not getting those things, seeing if it lines up with God's word was another thing that you said. If it's anything that's blaringly obviously wrong and it's in God's word, not in his will, right? And it's not his will for you if you're blaringly against God's word. But if it's things where you can't really pinpoint, is this not, that's when prayer comes in, right? And that ability that God has given us to communicate, for us to actually have a direct line of communication with him, to be able to pray for clarity in regards to moving forward or what we need to do next. But then the other thing that you mentioned is sometimes we will mess up, and God has made provision for that because he knows how we are. We've messed up as a human race from the very beginning. So he always has a plan, right? He always has a way to get us back on track, right? To get us back on the path, So definitely don't even be afraid of making those mistakes because he will allow you to be rerouted back to the path that he originally had for you. So those are all ways that you can make sure that you are in alignment with God's will for your business and be at peace when you make mistakes or failures because he's not going to condemn you, right? He's not going to. He's a good God.
If I could just add one thing to that prayer, and we've talked about this before too. As Christians,
Yeah.
we go and I'm praying and I'm asking God all these questions. Of late, I think within the last 6 months, God's really been putting it on my heart to just sit and listen. Like, go, and I do that probably at least once a day, maybe more, depending on how frantic I get, especially if I'm in a frantic place, right? Just, okay, breathe. All right, I just don't know what to do right now, God, right? It just sit and just listen, right? So
Yeah.
I just sit, I just quiet my mind, and I just listen, and I just
Yeah.
wait. See what God brings
Yeah.
to mind, what comes up, and then I go do that. And again, it's trust, right? It's back to trust,
Yeah.
trusting that God is speaking to us and leading us and directing us.
Yeah, and that's actually meditation, right? That is what new agey people would be calling, well, yeah, they would be calling it meditation new agey wise, but it's biblically based. God talks about meditating on his word day and night. Meditation is something that God talks about us doing. So when you're being still and being quiet, just listening for his voice, it's a form of meditation, clearing out your mind so you can actually hear what he has to say. So it's definitely valid and valuable for us as believers and as Christians, that meditation and clearing out our mind to hear what God has to say.
Did you know when you're in alignment with your God-given assignment, you're actually anointed for the work? Knowing you're in alignment is key, in alignment with God's will, God's word, and God's way. Discover how to align your life and business with God's divine plan with this on-demand Power of Divine Alignment Summit. During the summit, you will get access to 12 experts as we go deep on the topic of divine alignment. Simply go to powerofdivinealignmentsummit.com. That's powerofdivinealignmentsummit.com and use code podcast to get a special discount on this on-demand summit. So use the code podcast at powerofdivinealignmentsummit.com.
So this has been great, talking all about alignment. There's two key questions that I ask on every single episode, every single season, and it's all about power, right? The power that we are given and the power of certain things. So I'd love for you to share with the audience, what would you say is the power of faith? The power of faith.
The power of faith. Ooh, that's a good question. The power of faith. You know, what's coming to mind is peace. The power of faith is peace. When you have faith, you have peace. And that's powerful.
Yes. The power of faith is peace. And it reminds me of scripture where it says, peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace not the that the world gives, Jesus said, you know, because sometimes we can think of peace in a worldly way of what we think peace is, but God is like, or Jesus at the time that he was speaking was like, it's so much bigger than the peace that the world offers. The peace I give you is such is an inner peace because it's coming from the Spirit. So I love your definition of the power of faith is really the peace that we can have, and it's peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that's beyond this world. That really is the power of faith. So how would you define the power of business? The power of business.
Power of business. Well, I think business makes the world go round. You know, it's all that they say, right? The all infamous, ever knowing they. That it's really the small businesses that support the communities. You know, the small businesses, as you earn money as a business owner, you can go out into your community and purchase services. As you scale as a small business, and you get to start employing somebody else and helping other people in their lives. And then they go out in their communities and support people, and you're supporting them. And what I'm hearing now, even more, this seems to be a theme, especially in our culture and how things are going, where church, like what I grew up in, where I met Miss Mary, is kind of becoming passe, if you will. And it's more of a going out in the community. And what better way to be able to go out in the community as a business owner and minister to the people, to your clients, to your customers, in your messaging, you know, to bring up the conversations that way through just the day-to-day interactions. So
yeah.
being almost being a mission field at this point.
Yeah, definitely. So the power of business is what makes the world go around, right? And as believers, we have the ability to impact people, impact communities, through the vehicle and vessel of our business as business owners. So we can actually make sometimes an even bigger impact through business versus people going to church, because people aren't even going to church anymore. So I love that, you know. And if you think about it, even when it comes to Jesus' ministry, the bulk of his ministry was done out of the four walls of the church. He was out with the people preaching and teaching, right? So it was never about bringing people into the synagogue. It was about him going out into the world and preaching and teaching. So that rings true even now, right? Even now, it rings true that a bulk of the work is outside of the four walls of the church, for sure. So I love that description or definition of the power of business. So, Valerie, this has been a great conversation. It's always good chit-chatting with you, all the amazing nuggets that you share. If people want to learn a little bit more about the work that you do in the world with mindset, what would be the best way for them to connect with you?
So they can go to my website, valcares.com. On that website, there are several different free guides and things that they can get that they can find helpful. There's also one at valcares.com/listen, which covers some of the things that I do to work with people. And then I'm on the so what I'm either on socials is my name, Valerie Pugsley, or valcares.com, I think. So they can find me that way. And if they can
Any
remember how to
particular platforms? Any so particular platforms you're mainly on?
So I'm really working on spending a lot of time on YouTube, which isn't so much a social platform, but then LinkedIn is another good way to connect with me there.
Okay, so definitely connect with Valerie on her website, valcares.com, also on YouTube, is a great way to connect with her. So, yeah, and LinkedIn. So definitely reach out to Valerie and connect her in all of those spaces. Was there something else you were going to add? Nope. Okay, awesome. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much, Valerie, for being on the Women Faith Plus Business podcast.
Thank you so much, Nadine. It has been a pleasure spending time with you.
Thank you for listening to the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. I hope this episode has not just given you information, but it was insightful and inspirational and offers you an opportunity for transformation in your life and in your business. Wherever you are listening, be sure to rate and review the podcast and also subscribe to get the next episode. Or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list.